Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
And I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all of my listeners in the 33 countries around the globe who are supporting us, sister, by listening and tuning in. Yes, yes, yes. I like those numbers all across the world. People listen to me and Chris talk out trash. But anyway, we got a special guest tonight. Her name is Vicki Nabor. And before we bring her on, I want to say hello to Chris, my co-host. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful day in Ohio, and I hope it's nice where you are in your location.
Thank you, darling. It is right now. It's beautiful. You know, I don't have much on, you know, because it's so warm. But that song that's played when it's called "Call Me" by Phil Perry. Yes, the way he was saying call me, so he was begging. If I had his number, I'd definitely be calling him. I'd be in his DMs or something. We'd be making something happen. He ain't got to be begging, you know. But without further ado, this beautiful queen who is giving her time this Friday evening to talk with us, let's say hi to Vicki. How you doing, darling?
I'm great. How are you doing, Terry and Chris? Thanks so much for having me on your great show.
Oh, baby. It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. You know, people don't know that she gave me a compliment before we went on the air. She said she had been listening to some of my shows, and she liked my music. And I'm glad to hear that because I'll be trying to pick stuff that I like and I hope somebody else likes it, or it might be good for the topic we're talking about. And for her to say that, that makes me, it humbles me. I like that you like some of my songs. Yeah, baby.
Oh, they are so good.
Woo-hoo, y'all hear that? Okay. And look, if y'all want to call and talk to our guests, just dial 347-945-6003 and hit the one key. You don't have to hide behind y'all computers. Y'all can call. She ain't going to bite, you know. But if you want to talk, you can just listen in if you want to. But, you know, she ain't going to bite. So without further ado, I'm going to talk to Vicki. Vicki, tell me, darling, before you wrote this book, Authenticity Reawakened, what made you and your previous job have that epiphany that made you say, something is like, I'm missing something. You know, what's really going on?
Well, you know, I would say, so I worked for over 40 years in corporate roles, and I really love that. So I'm one of those people that generally will find something good in every experience. If it's a bad experience, I'll say to myself, well, what did I learn from it? What can I take away? You know, and I know you're a lot like that too, Terry. But, you know, I wasn't going to write a book about authenticity. You know, I knew, you know, now I'm 60 years old, and I have had an opportunity to look back at my life. And there were moments, of course, where I knew that, you know, bringing myself to work, my true self to work, was actually the only thing I knew how to do. I was never really very good at pretending to be something I'm not once I became an adult. So I decided, well, you know, I'm going to just show up as myself and be the best I can. I was able to go into a lot of really wonderful roles. I worked for a very long time. I didn't go to college in the normal, traditional way. I went to night school while I was raising my three children, and it took me 15 years to get my undergrad degree. So I was very humbled, you know, because I was working with people who went to Harvard and Yale and Princeton. So I came into the corporate world very humbled, not, you know, knowing all the things that they knew. But at some point, I did start.
You, Vicki, you know, you might not have went to Harvard or those other high, well-known colleges, but you know something, it got to be said for night school or community college, because that street knowledge, where it's not structured or you stand on a campus, it gives you stuff that they don't get. You know, they get, you know, a good education, they say they don't. But when you put the elements of everyday life in there, you don't get that break, you know, to go back to your dorm room and study in front of a computer, whatever. Girl, you know, you got the best. Even though you were humble, you were well-rounded, so God knew what he needed you to do. But before I'm going to kick this over to Chris, I just want to say, she just said she was 60 years old. Man, this female got to be lying, or she must have found the sip of the fountain juice, because she, as the guys would say, she is fawn. Y'all look on, you look on the page and shows you who the guest is. She is fawn, and she don't she know 60. I'm just saying. I'm telling you, man. Girl, what you doing? You better say a makeup line.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm telling you, you are. I'm not blowing smoke up yet, but you are. Chris, I mean, you've seen the picture. Isn't she fine for 60? I would have never guessed.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead, Chris. What are you going to say?
I can say, yeah. I haven't really seen. I seen a picture of her like on her social media, but I mean, I wouldn't have guessed she was 60 for sure.
I'm telling you, man, she's beautiful. Well, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead, ask the question. Yes, girl.
Okay. Well, my first question to you, Vicki, is everybody has their own definition of authenticity. What has it meant in your life?
Okay, so great question, Chris. So I'm going to, you know, as I, you know, I'll give you just a little bit of the backstory. You know, and when I left my corporate role, I was a head of human resources for a bank, and I left my corporate role in March of 2020, and I always wanted to write a book, but I had no idea what I would write about. So my publicist said, listen, you should write about something that you know about, but I didn't really know that I knew about authenticity because, again, I just knew how to bring myself to work, but I did a lot of research, and what I learned was that the researchers, I read hundreds of articles and books and things like that. No one has a definitive definition of authenticity, so I came up with one that I hope will help the readers. So it is knowing who you are, knowing what matters most to you, and then showing up in the world in a way that reflects that to the extent that you wish to do so. And the reason why I put that little caveat on the end, Chris, is that I'm not an advocate that we, you know, all feel comfortable going to work and telling all of our life story or anything like that. Some, you know, a lot of us have private things that we want to keep private. But but once you know who you are, you have to know who you are, and you have to know what matters to you, and then you are empowered to know what it is that you want to disclose about yourself and what you choose to hold dear. And I think that that's a good working definition for most of us.
It is. That's a good definition for authenticity. That's a real good definition. I like that. Let me say this. When you decided to write your book, how long did it take you to start from getting it all together to getting it edited to getting it published? How long did it take you in the whole process?
Yeah, so it took me 7 months.
Wow, okay. Wow, you can't write off a retirement. You jump right in it.
I jumped right in.
Yeah, you jump right in it, baby.
Yeah, so, and I will say to all the aspiring writers out there, and Terry, you're obviously way ahead of me with all the work that you've done, but, you sit down and you do an outline like you would a college or a high school paper even, and then, you have to just work at it every single day, and I knew nothing about writing a book, absolutely zero, nada, nothing. But once I got going, it sort of just came to me, and part of me feels that it was God talking to me that, this was what I was supposed to write about. And I made it a job. I would come up to my home office and sit here for 6, 8, 14 hours a day, every day, like it was a job.
Well, if it came to you like that, easy like that, it had to be God, because that's how I feel. Like some things, like my first book, man, I from conception to being published was 30 days. And that was because I listened to Steve Harvey on the radio, and he was saying how people get jealous because of his success. And he said, everybody got a talent. He said, whatever your talent is something that's easy for you to do, you do that. And so I said to myself, I said, Lord, I know I like to run my mouth. What should I do? And then I heard in my brain, not audio for anybody else to hear, it said, well, write it down, stupid. Talk about everything, you know, from brown bag poetry, from x-ray to worldly to godly. I mean, I put it all out in there, you know, and I was a little ashamed because some of my church members, they act like, oh, my God, Sister Lyle wrote that nasty book. And my mother said, well, that's my favorite book because, yeah, I might be a widow, but I still got feelings that she was hiding inside the bathroom, you know, like guys hide their magazine. So, you know, I got to the point, I don't care what nobody thinks, you know, brown bag poetry has still been my bestseller. It's all right, see, I'm telling you. But go ahead, Chris, because you know how I get off topic.
All right. Yeah, well, Vicki, I read on your Twitter, you quoted Mother Teresa, and you that read, quote, silence is, I wrote it down, but I can't read my, I was writing all fast today. I'm sorry. I forgot what it said, but I was wondering something about being silent, and I was just wondering if that works in your life. Like, has that quote helped you?
Okay. So I have been on a quest, not only about silence, but I will say that it's been a quest to be a better listener. Now, I think I've always actually been a pretty good listener because what people say matters to me. So I've always, in my corporate world, I always would write down things. I have a lot of journals, and I would, every time I went to a meeting, I would write down, you know, a summary of the conversation, because then I felt like I'm actually an introvert. So I would go back to my office and I would say, I would sort of reread those things to see if I could figure out, you know, what was somebody really, did I miss something when I was just sitting there with them? So I have been on a quest to listen as well as I possibly can, because I believe much like, you know, some of the quotes that I, you know, have talked about, is that listening is actually one of the greatest gifts that we can give to somebody else. And it's so important to you know, be there for other people and make sure that they know that what they say to you really matters. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of times when we're listening to someone, we're not really listening to what they say. We're listening to try to figure out what we're going to say next. And that's an art form to not do that, to just allow yourself to just be in the moment and to listen and to go with the conversation. And I've learned a lot by doing these radio shows and podcasts and things, in that, you know, I don't know what I'm going to be asked. So it does help me to listen really well so that I make sure that I hear, you know, what it is that you're actually, you know, wanting to share with me and ask me, so that I can accommodate, you know, what it is that you're hoping to hear or learn about or whatever that might be. And I will tell you the quote from Mother Teresa. So yeah, the quote is, silence is prayer.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry. I wrote it down, but I was writing kind of fast, so I apologize. I messed
that
up.
Oh, that's okay. No, okay. That's okay. And so it is a way, you know, and I know that, Chris, I don't know a lot about you, but I know that Terry's very prayerful. And so in my book, I talk about when you want to know whether or not you're living your life on purpose and or authentically, I suggest to the reader that they stand in front of a mirror and just ask yourself, who am I? And you can ask other questions such as, Am I living up to my purpose? Am I there for my family, friends, myself, my colleagues in the way that I want to be? And you listen for the answer. So this silence is prayer part is where this kind of comes in that listen for the answer and don't let your ego or your own sort of thoughts, you know, give you the answer. If you listen really carefully, the answers will come to you. And if you are living on purpose and in the way you're proud of, that's fantastic. And if you're not, then you say to yourself, how do I make it right? And you take the steps to make it right. We all are human. We all, you know, fail at some relationships and we fail at some of the things that we want to do and we let people down. but you can always get back on track and make it right. And so I definitely encourage people to do that and to listen, you know, thoughtfully, not only to others, but to yourself as well.
That is so true that you say that, Vicki, because, you know, a couple of times in my life, and I'm sure in each of our lives, that we went through some stuff that we had a strong desire to do something, like something is telling you to do something, you know, and I think it's the voice of God or the Holy Spirit, you know. So a lot of times you're right. Sometimes if you've got so much chaos going on and noise interfering and worry about this and that, sometimes you just need to be silent so you can breathe better, you know, calm the body so you can receive whatever it is that you're supposed to receive. So I get that. You know, people say prayer, they think they got to get down on their fat little knees, you know, but sometimes it's being silent, you know, and
yes.
Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. But I tell you what, we'll take a small song break, and then when we come back, we're going to learn more about how to own our own path and direction in life and to fulfill our purpose. So right now, we're going to play a little song. We'll be right back in 2 and 2.
I knew God was with me. I always used to pray. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out, and I'm going to testify, and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God, every day is feeling just like Sunday. White the sky, by my side, green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams, just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise, what's in the water got you acting like this. Ain't a day gone by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed, yes. Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed, yes, I'm blessed. Breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good, and every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. In a day gone by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regret. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed.
Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face,
welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lau and Chris Michael Ward. And that tune was Charlie Wilson and T.I. The song was called I'm Blessed. And we want to get back to our guest, Mrs. Vicki Nagor, because I want to ask her to show us listeners how to own our own path and direction in life and to fulfill its purpose. Because a lot of times, you know, people just get up and follow the routine of going to work. You know, it's your purpose that you can pay your bills, but it got to be more to that. Because, you know, if you're doing a job that you really don't care about, it makes it tedious. But when you're doing a job that you love, it's not work at all. It's easy. So I'm going to let our special guest explain to us people out there who is not sure what they're doing or how they can do it better, how to own their own path and direction in life.
Okay, so there's a lot in that, Terry. And
okay, here we go.
So what I do in the book is, first of all, you know, when I said with the definition, I kind of use that as a roadmap for how do I help my readers kind of get to purpose. So the first was, you know, that I said, know who you are. So there's an exercise in the book that is really geared to help you know who you are. And I'll give you a story, but the reason why that's so important to know who you are is to think about pivotal life moments. In every life, there's 5 to 7 things that have happened to you, and some of them may be quite joyful, and some of them could be horrible. And everything in between, but moments that as you look back at your life, regardless of whether you're 60 or 80 or 25, you've had pivotal moments. And I asked the reader to identify what those pivotal moments were and then talk about, to also identify how did you feel with those moments and then what are the gifts that you received as a result. So, for example, one of the stories that I shared as one of my pivotal moments was when I was 12 years old, my family lost our home to foreclosure. And so it's a tough time. So that was my experience. But then when I talk about how did I feel, I was scared. I was embarrassed. I, as you can imagine, a 12-year-old being, you know, really humiliated, embarrassed, and all of that. Then what were some of the things that happened as a result of that? Well, guess what? We ended up moving to a community where I saw really healthy families, and I had wonderful examples of what good parents could be, which I can tell you influenced the kind of parent I became. We had teachers who really cared about excelling in school and cared about me excelling in school. My entire trajectory of my whole life changed because our family lost our home and we moved. So that would be an example of what a pivotal life moment and sort of the kind of exercise that I asked the reader to go through. And again, if all of you just sort of take a minute to think about some of those things, I guarantee you probably some are already coming to mind for both of you and certainly for the listeners. But it's important to write those things down because a lot of times, if you're like me at all, you know, if somebody said, what's your pivotal life moment? I might go, oh, yeah, you know, here's a couple of things that happened to me. But it's really important to take a deeper dive on those moments. So that's the first thing. And then when I said to know what matters to you, so, for example, that to me means what are your values? What do you stand for? What are you going to stand up for and not stand for as well in your life. And yes, and so, you know, another pivotal life moment for me was that I'm Mexican and Irish, so I have light skin. My father was full-blooded Mexican, and he had very, very dark skin. And he endured racism every single day. And I would be walking down the street, 5 years old, holding his hand, and someone would take it upon themselves to lean out of their car window and call him some discriminatory name.
Oh, wow.
But my dad was a lovely man, and he rose above. He was above that kind of behavior. And but I watched that, and I know that it hurt him, and I knew it hurt his pride. But I, so then, you know, what came of that? Well, guess what? I ended up being the head of human resources. And I care about people being treated fairly at work, and I cared about families and all of those things. But so a value that came out of that, obviously, would be zero tolerance for racism. Not going to have it, zero tolerance, period. So that's, you know, I take the reader through this journey of how do you identify your values. It starts with your stories, because those are the things that really made you who you are. And then how do you kind of go down this road to identify your values? So really important to do that. And then when we get to purpose, so purpose is not about a job. So you talked about going to your job every day, for example. Maybe it's not the job you dreamed about. Maybe you can't wait to get out of this job, but it's the only one you have. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in bloom where you're planted until you can be planted somewhere else. So ask yourself, is there something I can do to make this, you know, less than ideal situation a little bit better? You know, can I look around and say, you know what, I really like my coworkers, or hey, I could do something, you know, join an employee resource group, or I can do some volunteerism at my job or something like that until you find something better. But to me, purpose is driven by three statements. So the first statement is, what do you want? A lot of times we talk about what we don't want. You know, we're really good at sort of complaining and venting and all the things that we don't want. But when someone says, what do you really want? It takes you some thought to think about what do I really want in this life, in my experiences. So that's the first statement. So my statement sounds like this. I want to be happy, healthy, able to work with people I respect, and be present for those I love. Now, that sounds like that's a sentence, and it sounds like, oh, okay. But when I come in, I have it posted in my office here, and when I come in and I see that word healthy, for example, well, I have a tendency sometimes to really hate exercising, and I don't always make the best food decisions. So that, so when I see that word, I'm like, you know what, I've got to work at being healthy. It's not something that is my normal thing. Working with people I respect, you know what, I want to do that because I have worked with, you know, mostly 99% of people I really did respect, but there were some that I didn't, and on occasion they were my boss. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm not going to work with someone I don't respect, plain and simple. And I want to be here for people that I love and be present. We talked a little while ago with Chris about listening. So that means I should listen to them, and I should put the darn phone down, and I should, you know, really pay attention, because I don't know how long I have with these people, you know, and I want people to know that I love them and with all my heart. I really do. Now, am I perfect at it? No, and that's another point I want to make about authenticity, is there's no such thing as a perfect person. So don't expect perfection of yourself or anyone else. And then the other statements are, when I'm at my best. So describe yourself when you're at your best. This is your time to be proud of yourself for who you are and what you want to become. So I know that when I'm at my best, I can love people and I can inspire and help them, and I can help them be themselves, and I can help them bring their purpose to life. And when I say this, this is so interesting to me, because in some regards, and this is true for all your listeners, sometimes you're going to do things in your work that you have no idea why you're doing them, but it might feel really right. And then later on, when you're as old as I am, you can look back and you go, oh, all those dots really made sense. So in some sense, I've always had jobs that have helped other people bring their purpose to life. I just didn't know that it was my purpose to do it. And then last, and then I'll give you a chance to get a word in edgewise, guys. But the last statement is, what do you believe? So this is where, you know, I want the readers to really identify what you believe in. Like, why is this your purpose? What do you believe? So I believe that when people live their purpose and they're authentic, that they're able to pay it forward to other people. And if all of us showed up in life and at work with a little bit more vulnerability to each other, kindness to each other, all those things, I do believe that the world would be a better place. And so that's why I get up every day and try to put good work out there to contribute, because I think if we can, that's what will happen.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful. And that's good insight, you know. And a lot of people don't know what it takes to make them happy, but you hit the nail on the head. So I hope y'all are taking notes. So, Chris, I want to give you an opportunity to ask your question before we run out of time.
Okay. My next question for Vicki is, you know, Terry's written books. I kind of contributed to two books in my career. And I was just wondering, Vicki, how long did it take you to write your book, your newest one about authenticity?
Yeah, so, Chris, it took 7 months from the first word on the page until, you know, I turned it over to the publisher. So we didn't do any major edits at all, and I wrote every single word. But, yeah, 7 months.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. We appreciate you being here tonight.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful. And, Chris, what do we always tell our guests that come on our show?
We always tell our guests that once you've been on, this is your home, and you're invited back anytime.
Aw, well, thank
That's
you.
Right.
I'm honored.
Give me a call and let us know. We'll get you on the roster. Trust and believe. And we so much love you, Vicki, for spending time with us, you know, and sharing that wisdom because, you know, knowledge is power. And sometimes things are so simplistic that people don't understand, you know. And like you said, just listen because you might say something that one person never got it yesterday, but today a light bulb might go off in their brain. They have an epiphany. And it's true. Some of the things that we need to do are so simplistic. Think about our past and how did it affect our life going along. Because at the age of 12, when your parents' home went to foreclosure, you know, I'm sure like you and a lot of other children, you know, when things go wrong in the household, the kids want to bear the brunt of the responsibility, and it's really not their responsibility, but they don't know. When something goes wrong in the household, the kids want to feel like, what did I do, or what could I have done better, or eat less so we would have money to pay the mortgage or whatever. But it's not your fault, but our past dictates who we are, and if we're not going down the road that we would like to go, this is the opportunity to change it, you know. Vicki has given y'all some healthy things to think of and how you can learn how to be authentic. I can't spit this word out. I'm in my tongue all twisted. Let me unravel it real quick. Authenticity. Or whatever. Y'all know what the word is. My tongue is in a knot. You can find her book, I think, on Amazon, correct, Vicki?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And tell them how to reach you if they want to get a hold of you.
Sure. So you can visit me at vickisnaver.com. That's VickiSnavor.com. I do a blog every Tuesday. I post to all the socials every single day. And I've had so much fun being here and learning from all of you. And it was an honor to be with you tonight. So thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh,
you're
girlfriend,
welcome.
Honor is all mine. Thank you, Chris, for tuning in as well. When you could have been out on the weekend having a good time since you was off, you know, I appreciate you as well, Chris.
Well, this is my job too, Terry. I got two jobs.
I know, right? And you're wearing them hats, baby. Keep doing it. So, Vicki, if it looked like I said, if you ever want to come back, give me a call. You go to my website, and you'll see the show, and just share it to your page, and you can post it wherever you want to post it, because it'll be available in about 3 minutes, you know, because the show is getting ready to shut down. So thank you for being here, Vicki, again, you, Chris, and you have a blessed weekend, and stay safe and stay healthy.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, darling. See you next week.
I was rolling in my car when I pulled up at the mall, couldn't find a place to park. Threw my keys to the valet.
Hand that for me.
I was only about a
wasn't looking for a thing, I was just about to bounce. And then I saw Miss Lady. Then I said to myself, little thing, a couple of bags in her hand, right in front of Macy's. That's where the pretty girls hang. Then I saw her at the food court, sipping lemonade, conversating on a cell phone, looking so amazing. And I said to myself, take her to the cookout.
Yeah, her gon'
hang. Take her to my mama's house. If she need her hair done,
my cousin can.
I'll treat her like a queen, give her everything.
She will be my girl till we old and gray.
And I knew it from the moment that I saw her love and love light.
You are.